Our scripture reading today is from John 16, verse 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Okay, sound check him on. I'm good. Great. I actually asked Rob, I requested Rob to go do the announcements before me so that all of my jokes would actually sound better and funnier. But so thanks. So, in all honesty, it's been an honor to serve this church for many years. And the last couple of days, I've just been praying. And I just really felt that promises that he had promised me years ago, stepping into my calling, and I would say, no, that's not for me, that's not for me. And just the joy that I have today coming here. And not to pinpoint everyone here that has helped me in my journey, but there's been so many of you guys that it's actually an honoring and humbling to come before you guys. I just really felt even this morning just highlighting, I saw the Eggers come in today, and if you guys don't know the Eggers, just get to know them. They were just so instrumental when I first became a Christian in my life, and probably I wouldn't be up here today if it weren't for them. So thank you guys, and I'm just honored to share with you guys. A couple things. I was asked already twice about what I'm wearing, if this is the norm of what we're supposed to wear. But I was actually talking to Stephen a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know how you get itchy on your palms when you're nervous and you're preaching? Mine is, I think I'm going to profusely sweat. Like, it's just going to be everywhere, it's going to be a mess, and people aren't going to hear me because they're just going to look what's going on here. And he told me to wear black to hide it, so that's why I'm wearing this. Okay. So before we go into the text, I don't know if it's up there, but there are so many ways in which we can read the Bible. And so before we dive into it, I actually feel it's good practice that we ask ourselves, in what lens are we viewing the scripture? When we read this gospel, I'm sure most of you guys are used to the text and know that Jesus died, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. Another Corpus plug, if you haven't been in Corpus, you'll probably hear the language of life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Everyone likes to talk about that here. You talk about the death, life, resurrection, ascension, all that compiled into what has happened in the Gospels. But as we look at these scriptures, I think it's important that we almost dive into it as if we were the disciples, one of the disciples walking with Jesus. How would we react when Jesus tells him he's going to leave? That our good friend is telling us he's about to die. And this should give us a good sense of how their emotional state was. The second lens I would encourage you guys to view the scripture in is with a missional focus. You see, Jesus was about to leave his disciples. He was passing on the baton to them. But he also promises that they're not going in alone. He's not leaving them in the dark, but the Holy Spirit, who will equip them to do all the work of Christ in his absence. So as you can tell, I'm only doing three verses, so I hope we'll be on time. I only have 7 pages of notes here, but I speak fast, so it's all good. So we'll start off John 16, 12. I still have many things to tell you. So as we've been journeying through what they've coined the Summer of the Vineyard series, which sounds really nice and beautiful. But if I'm honest, there has been some hard texts that we've gone through. The death that Jesus was about to have, the hatred that they were going to experience. So my first reaction to this is, wait, what? What could possibly be left to say? He just told his disciples, hey guys, let's go for a walk. Your life that you've known for the last 3.5 years is about to change. I'm leaving you. And because of my namesake, you'll be hated, kicked out of the synagogues, and even killed. But wait, there's more. But you can't bear it now. If I was one of the disciples, I think I'd probably get along with Thomas, coined Thomas the Doubter. I think we'd have a few similar personality traits. Really, Jesus? You just told us we're going to be murdered. What else could we not bear? And obviously, Jesus knew his time on earth was coming to an end. So he knew he could not share all that he wanted to with his disciples. And here we see that he's wanting to share the most important things to them. But as I meditated on these scriptures for the last few weeks, I began to realize that this text actually shows the nature of God towards us. That he knows their emotional state. He knows our emotional state. Their hearts were troubled, and they could not bear any more. And for one reason, because the comforter, the counselor, had not yet come. Now, I could be alone in this, and I don't think I am, but I could be. That in my own walk, how many times does our emotional state actually hinder us from seeing the goodness of God and the promises of God? You see, we get so caught up in our current circumstances, the pain, the hurt, that we forget that his promises are always yes and amen. Moving on to when the Spirit of truth comes. Now I know why they have this. Your mouth gets really dry when you're up here talking to them. I thought it was just for like a pause, just so you can like, actually, okay, I'm going really too fast. Pause. So here again, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it's important to reiterate here that this is a continued conversation. This is not a completely different thought from what we just read. He says, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. And this kind of gives us a snapshot of the role of the Holy Spirit. He will come to continue to reveal the work of Jesus after he ascends into heaven. So I want to go through the rest of this passage, kind of exploring the roles and functions of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive study. Time would not permit me to actually go through everything, but I just want to go through this specific text, highlighting what Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. And if we're good on time, I want to get out of here so we can all enjoy Wally's Beach. So as stated in the previous verses, it's not up there, but in your Bible, John 16:7, Jesus tells his disciples, it is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go, the Helper would not come. So when the Helper comes, he will guide us into all truth. They may not understand what Jesus is saying because of their grievous hearts, but when the Spirit arrives, they will be guided into all truth. In my opinion, I feel like this is one of the greatest gifts we could actually receive. A guide to help us in this world of brokenness, of sin, of hurt and pain. And we don't need to know all the answers. I think that's kind of a misconception that our culture, we always want to, everybody asks, what's your plan? What are you doing? And we always want to know, here's our 5-year plan. Even how we set up schooling is like that, right? Where, you know, in grade 10, you're kind of looking at the courses you want to take so you can finish or start your career and what you're going to take after high school into university. But it's not so in the kingdom. It's not so with being led by the Spirit. I remember when I first became a Christian, I actually remember I wanted to do YWAM out in Australia, mainly because it would be easy to go out there and not have to deal with everyone here. You see, I've lived in Lethbridge my whole life, and people know me quite a bit, and not always for the good best reasons. And so I thought, if I just got out of the town, if I just left and I went and I served somewhere else, and I could have a good relationship without the distractions of my hometown. I had scriptural backing of that too, where it says no prophet is welcomed in his own hometown. So I was like, okay, done, let's do it. But I remember, it's always the prayers that you look back and you're like, oh, why did I pray that you remember. But I remember praying this prayer. I'm like, okay, Lord, I will go wherever you call me to. But just give me the blueprint. Give me all the details. And I feel like if he actually answered that prayer, my response would be either, yeah, I'm out, or, okay, God, I see where we're going with this. I see what you're taking me, but let's just take out this pain. Let's take out this part. That doesn't really fit to what I want a comfortable life to lead me to this place. But that's actually not our role. Our role is to go, to be guided. When we talk about a guide, as when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. And so when he guides us, we just need to trust the Holy Spirit is good. So he will guide us into all truth, even if that truth does not make sense to us. Even if this truth is not how we've always thought it to be or expected. You see, his ways are not our ways, and his truths are not our truths. And I find myself at times taking the truths of the world and holding it as the truths of God. But we must be open to the Spirit's leading of change in our own truths to align with his. In Acts 10, a biblical example of this would be the story of Peter and Cornelius. I won't read it all to you because it's fairly lengthy, but I'll give you kind of a short synopsis of it. Basically, one day Peter, he goes up to pray, and he starts to get hungry. And as he's up there, he has a vision. Like it says, he falls into a trance. And he has this vision, and he sees birds and reptiles of the air. Sorry, my wife pointed out one last thing. When I get nervous, I move my hands a lot too. So you'll probably see this a lot. She told me last night. I was like, really? What am I supposed to do now? Shoot! That's why you do this. Okay. So he goes and he sees this, and he sees birds and reptiles in the air, and a voice came to him. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came again a second time. What God has made clean, do not call or common. This happened 3 times, and the thing was taken up to heaven. And then it goes on to say while Peter was pondering this vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Now, 2 things to take notice of this. The Spirit doesn't tell him what's going to happen. He doesn't go and say, hey, guy, Peter, this is the most amazing thing. You have to go. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be given to the Gentiles. They'll have the baptism of the Spirit when you go and preach. He doesn't say that at all. He just says, go. And the second thing we notice here is Peter actually had to relinquish part of his belief system that day. He was challenged to give up something he's known to be true his whole life. He had to follow the Spirit's leading. And that that obedience brought the baptism to the Spirit of the Gentiles, which we can be very thankful for. It changed the whole heart and mission of the church. So being led by the Spirit and allowing Him to guide us and change our truth can have impacting, lasting effect on others. Another way the Holy Spirit will guide us, He will also guide us into truth, even if it's not popular. Jesus said the world will hate you because of me. And the worldly truths held by those who have not yet received the Spirit will clash with our heavenly views of the believers. But we can be confident that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us with boldness and a desire to see Jesus glorified. Another example of this is Peter. I'm picking on Peter a little bit, we see a timid Peter. I guess I would call this pre-spirit Peter and post-spirit Peter. But we see a timid Peter who denies the Lord three times in front of common folk. I think one book it says a servant girl came to him and asked, "Aren't you one of them?" And he says, "No, I'm not." And he denies them to everyone. Post-spirit or after Pentecost, we see Peter spreading the news of Jesus. And he begins to ruffle the feathers of the Jewish leaders. And they put him into prison, him and John in prison, and then they were sent before the council. And we pick up the story in Acts 4:18. "So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" So the Holy Spirit comes and leads us with boldness and leads us to continue the work of Christ even when it's not the popular belief. The Holy Spirit only speaks what He hears, and now after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this truth is imparted to us, the followers. It says Peter and John now cannot but speak of what they've seen and heard. And that's the next part of the verse. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit speaks the words of Jesus, just as the Son only did what the Father was doing. The Holy Spirit only proclaims the word of Jesus. So we see that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth about Jesus. In chapter 15, verses 26, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." So as we see in the scripture, another role of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness about Jesus. To bear witness means to show that something truly exists or that is truthful. So the Holy Spirit has come to show the world that Jesus truly exists and is present and active. And likewise, as Christians, with the Holy Spirit alive and active in us, being part of the vine, this is also our calling, to bear witness and proclaim the good news of Jesus. If you need more convincing of this, one need only to look at the very last words of Jesus before his ascension. when he says, go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So we see, again, when we look and we focus on the missional focus, we see that Jesus came to feed the poor, the needy, the broken, and the unloved, to share the love of Christ to all. And as we've been going through this series, and as we look at what Father Stephen preached on a couple weeks ago about abiding in the vine, are we actually abiding in him that allows us to go out and do the things that he did? It truly convicted me in those things. It's like, yeah, I love Jesus. I feel like I'm in the vine, but it's only for me. But the true nature of our being in the vine is to bear fruit, to go and be obedient to him. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, if you haven't really heard anything I've said up until this point, I'd encourage you, turn off Instagram, Facebook, whatever you're on right now. Minesweeper, is that a thing these days? No? And just listen, he will glorify me. So the highest calling and role of Jesus is to magnify Christ, to glorify Jesus to all the world. Just as Jesus had come to reveal and glorify the Father, so the Holy Spirit has come to reveal and glorify the Son. And we are led to glorify him as well, because of his greatness, because of who he is. And now we have access to the Father through Jesus' sacrifice. And what was declared over Jesus on his baptism is actually now declared over us. This is my Son, who I'm well pleased. This is my daughter, who I'm well pleased. He now bestows that on us. The Spirit will take what is Jesus's and declare it to us. He calls us sons and daughters. Now, that's a language that we hear a lot in the church, but do we actually let it actually come in? And do we actually let it change who we are? Do we act differently as sons and daughters of the High King? Again, obviously, we're not Jesus, and I'm not proclaiming that at all. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to imitate the Father as well. Just the other day, I feel like I've coined this phrase for my own life. I whenever I'm not actually secure in my identity, I become what I call a Holy Spirit hoarder. I want the Holy Spirit for my own needs, to make me feel better, to take anxiety or fear away, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, and I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for these things. I think I know that these are important things to pray for, and he does answer these prayers. But if it doesn't propel us to magnify his name and share that gift to others, then I think we actually need to have some self-reflection. I think if we're wanting to, okay, yeah, I have no longer fear, that's good. I'm no longer a slave to fear, yay, and that's it, and we just continue on and we feel happy and we feel good inside. No, our calling is to go out and share that to the world who are entrenched in fear, who have anxiety, who have pain and hurts. We want to give that to them. As sons and daughters, we begin to have the same heart as Jesus. We imitate the Father. The other day, we found out we have mice in our house, and I hate mice. I don't know what it is about mice. I can do spiders. I can do any creepy crawly bugs, but mice, they just... Anyways, I had to repent for some of the words I used the last couple of weeks. But I have a friend who's an exterminator, and I called him up. I said, this is what's going on. And he came out, and he's like, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look around the house. We're going to go outside the house, and we're going to see if there's any small holes where they're coming in. So I get my shoes on, my 3-year-old son, Liam, he wants to come, and he's ready to go, too. So he gets his shoes on, and he's coming. And I'm walking, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, is that one too small? And I could just see him beside me, and he's doing the exact same thing. He's like, oh, that's not too small. He was just imitating everything I did. And because he wants to be like me, and because of the love that I have for him, he reciprocates that love by doing the things that I do. And likewise, as sons and daughters of God the Father, we began to imitate what he does and his heart for the city, his heart for the nations, the heart for the lost should become our heart, and that the Holy Spirit will guide us into these places. Just as Peter had his belief system changed and went out and served the Holy Spirit into the world of the Gentiles, where is he calling us to go? Where is he calling you specifically to go? I don't know how much time I have, but I'm pretty much done. But as we come to the table today, I would just encourage you guys to let the Holy Spirit guide you without reservation. Let him speak the words of Christ over you. Give him our fears of being led into the unknown. I know for the longest time, me coming up here, my first response would be like, no. But when there was actually a shift when Stephen texted me saying, hey, would you be willing to preach this summer? It was still no in my heart. But as I prayed about it, I felt like this is the season of being obedient and bold in him and coming and being led into new unknown areas. So you can come to the table knowing the Holy Spirit is a good guide that will never lead you astray, that will never lead us into places where he's not going to go. He will always be with us for all time.